Our reading from God's holy word this morning, first from the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter, this week from verses 26 through 34, realizing we read parts of chapter 4 last Sunday in the parable of the sower, and this continues that teaching of Jesus about the seed. So Mark 4, verse 26, the parable of the growing seed. And then verse 30, the parable of the mustard seed. Jesus also said, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." Again, Jesus said, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds of the air can perch in its shade." When many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. And our second reading is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. 2 Corinthians 5, 6. "Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. I want to begin by looking at 2 Corinthians 5, the verses 6 through 10, in what Paul writes here when he talks about being home in the body or away from the Lord. Home in the body is a way that Paul describes living in this world where we are away from the Lord into that time when we are with the Lord in eternity. And that we live in this world, there is a goal that God has in mind for us. And Paul expresses that in verse 9. "So we make it our goal to please Him." We have lots of things that we try to do in life, but a key goal is to make it our goal to please Him, that Him is the Lord. To live our lives, to think our thoughts, to say our words that would be pleasing to the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We have faith that this is the true Word of God. We were not there to watch Jesus walk the earth. We were not there to listen to Him say these words in person. But in faith, we trust that the Holy Spirit of God interacted with the writers of Scripture and they wrote down this word for us. We live by faith. We don't have to see everything to know that the Word of God is true. And by that faith, we are confident. The Word of God gives us confidence in living in today's world. And with that confidence, our goal is to please Him. I want us to think about pleasing God as we continue in this brief series about the seed that has been sown, bridging the gap from last Sunday until this Sunday. And this past week, I received an email from someone that I have not thought of in years. He is the youngest child of Jim and Linda Ditzler, who were the managers at Pilgrim Hills Church Camp, where I worked on summer staff during my 6 summers of college. Now, there is a part of me that hesitates to share this with you because I don't want to be sounding like I'm blowing my own horn, for David remembers me from the eyes of a very young teen, and I'm not sure I was as good as what he might describe. You can ask other people back then, and they might give you a different version, but I was very touched by what David sent to me. And as I thought about these parables about the seed, I hope that it will tie together by the time I am finished. So I share this email as we talk about the growth of the kingdom of God in our lesson this morning. So this is what David wrote. I am reaching out to you as a person that impacted my life greatly during some important years. The time that we spent at camp, whether cutting trees, moving dirt, digging ditches, washing dishes, building steps out of railroad ties. You know, I read that list and I wonder, why did I keep on going back? Digging ditches and moving dirt. Because it was great work to be done as a team. It was significant and I was watching and learning. Your words and your actions made an impact on me and I wanted to let you know and to say thank you for being a role model of integrity. I needed that back then, and you were ever so consistent to demonstrate grace and humility as a godly man. You were a recognized college athlete that could have been a pompous jerk. I don't know how recognized I was as a college athlete, and I know that there were some times when I was a pompous jerk, but again, these are the grateful eyes of a very young boy. You treated me and others with dignity and respect. You also knew how to have fun in good measure and appropriate ways. I just want to let you know that what your years at Pilgrim Hills did for me. The Lord was using you then in ways he was purposing, and you were being faithful. I really was blown away by what David shared in this email. He writes of a time that was 40 years ago. Can you go back 40 years? And think of where you were and be aware of people around you that might have been watching, that you might have not known how you were impacting and teaching. It's an awesome experience, and I'm very grateful that David took the time to share this email with me. It was a very humbling message. I think the best thought that David shared was in his closing sentence. The Lord was using you in ways he was purposing. I believe that God purposed David to send me this email this week in light of the lessons we can learn from the scriptures of the parables this morning. So as we look at these two parables, the parables of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed, these two parables follow the parable of the sower we considered last Sunday. As the sower scattered that seed, we considered those four soils upon which the seed fell, and I made reference to Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, when verse 6, when Paul said, I, Paul, planted the seed, Apollos watered it, and God made it grow. God makes it grow. That's the focal point. God made it grow. That's what struck me about the email that I received from David. The Lord was using you then in ways he was purposing. God makes it grow. In all honesty, whatever we do and are able to accomplish truly is God working through us. God is purposing each of us. My presence at camp was totally orchestrated by God. It was kind of happenstance that I ended up there. I hadn't planned on doing that, but there were some college students ahead of me that had gone to camp and worked there, and they talked me into it. And when David wrote about me and what he's written about me, about his parents, David wrote this letter to me, and I have to tell him, I've already written this similar letter to his parents, Jim and Linda Ditzler. And the aspect of the impact they've had on me, I never thought about the impact I might have had on their son. Christians are called to live a Christ-like life in this world. Doesn't mean we're perfect. I've made mistakes. But we are called to live with integrity, to live with grace, to live with humility, with dignity and respect, while being faithful to the Lord. And how does that happen? How does that happen? As I said, I certainly didn't know the impact God made upon David's life through me. God made it grow, though. It wasn't me. I'm not that much of a saint, as you know. It was God's hand upon me. The parable of the growing seed teaches us about this mystery of how God purposes us and how we can impact the lives of others when we're not even aware of it. This parable about the growing seed, it's about this mystery. We can think about a seed and we think we can know how it works, but yet it's still a mystery. The emphasis of Jesus through this parable is on the mysterious power that's contained in that little seed. That little seed that has that power that develops into a crop. Jesus heightens this mystery through his parable of the mustard seed. How that tiniest of seeds can mysteriously produce the largest of garden plants. Textbooks describe the mystery of a growing seed in this way, and I checked with a local farmer. When a dry seed comes into contact with moist soil, the seed begins to expand through that moisture, and the seed coat cracks open. And as it takes on more water and cracks open, the embryo inside that seed, that made up of a small shoot and a small root, that small root is to go down into the ground, and that sprout emerges from the soil. That mystery that happens so quickly and mysteriously in time, it develops so that there is a crop to harvest. That's part of the scientific understanding of the mysterious power of the seed. But in the days of Jesus, they might not have had those microscopes to really study those seeds. They just planted the seed. Jesus is not giving a botany lesson. You don't have to understand the mystery, because that's not the real point. God makes it grow. God's ways are higher than our ways. God makes it grow. And just like that happens within that little seed, that's what happens within us. And that's why we have these parables. That's why Jesus taught these parables. The seed gets sown and it grows. The mysterious power within that seed is unleashed, and the plant is grown, after which in due time, there will be a harvest. Remember, these two parables are about the kingdom of God. In both, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like. So we're not just talking about plant seeds. Remember from the parable last week, the parable of the sower, the seed represents the word of God. And God makes that grow. I shared the email with you that David sent me in hopes that you can see it as an illustration of sowing seed. Sowing seeds of faith through everyday action and interaction. If you remember from last Sunday, or if you remember the parable of the sower, those seeds that fell along the path, the farmer didn't plan to put them there. They kind of just fell there. Well, when we sow seeds, when we live with integrity, when we live with consistency of faith, seeds are sown without us really even knowing. And that's where we trust those seeds to God's growth. I never set out to be a role model for anyone. I never really thought about my life and how my life could impact someone that was on staff with me. I mean, David Ditzler, we called him Double D. He was the young one of the family. He was really young. And you really didn't want him tagging along with you. I spent much more time with his older brother. But there David was. And he was always around. And now I know why. Because he gave me a sermon that I could share with others. The impact of God purposing and orchestrating our lives. in God's hands as he purposes each of our lives. He plants us in situations. He plants us in families. He plants us in neighborhoods, in jobs and careers, at camps and on trips. In situations, God plants us there. And he puts each one of us in a different location, in a different path. Even when we live together, we are following different paths. And as we live with faith and integrity and consistency, as we follow our own unique paths, we have the opportunity to be planting seeds. God plants us so that the kingdom of God can grow. Remembering always, it's not us. It's God makes it grow. As I thought about that and trying to make the faith, that growth of faith, the same way Jesus was teaching his disciples, I want to carefully share with you that book learning is good. Reading books on church outreach and evangelism, studying the scriptures with books in hand to make sure we know all the nuances of the text, that's important and it's foundational in our understanding of the scriptures. But those countless books, at some point we have to put the books down and we have to live life. We have to experience life. So as we read, we have to put that into action. And that's what we're doing when we're planting seeds, when we're living our lives. People want to know, how do we go out and bring someone to Jesus Christ? What are the words we have to say? It's not that we have to read another book. We have to live lives of faith. We have to know the words to say. We have to be compassionate. We have to be honest. But we have to be who we are. And who are we? We are the people of God, the people that God made us to be. And we have those experiences to interact with others. As we draw upon the Bible and our own education, our own experience, God purposes us where we might be. God gave me another illustration of that yesterday afternoon. I was trying to take it easy yesterday afternoon or maybe last evening, and I got a phone call. I think it was one of four phone calls we got from my daughter Amy yesterday afternoon. And there was a 40-something woman that was a part of their congregation that was found dead in her home yesterday. And the parents of the girl wanted a minister from her church to come be there. And the senior pastor was out of town. And the pastor of care that was going to go had never gone and had this kind of experience before. And she was talking with Amy about what she should do. And you know what Amy said? Call my dad. Amy knows that God has orchestrated in my life various times when, as the chaplain, the area pastors serve as chaplains with the fire and police department, or situations here at the church where I've had to respond in, quote, emergency situations where you don't always know the people that you're going to talk with. And I said, sure. And so Kate called me, and we kind of went through a few little steps about what I would do from my experience, about going in, not asking any questions. You don't need to know the details. You just need to know that that family wanted you there, and to offer up a scripture and to have a prayer and say, is there anything else I can do for you right now? And talk about follow-up, and then just be gone. And fortunately, Kate went and did that, and fortunately, Amy called and said that it went okay, that Kate was very helpful by that experience. And again, God purposed me in life to have some knowledge that I can be called up. I didn't have to go to a book and read. I had that life experience. Now, remember, I've gone to many books over the years, and I've read, and I've been able to have that experience. But God orchestrated me to be present yesterday for that other minister in the ministry of the kingdom. I hope that you get such calls, that someone is in need and they know that you can be helpful in that situation, That's how God can orchestrate. Confirmation, we're not just talking about the church history, we're talking about the priesthood of all believers. The ministry of the church is not up to the pastors. What are the pastors supposed to be doing? We read that last week too. We are equipping everyone for works of service. And so we are serious that when we go out from the sanctuary, each of us are to be planting those seeds as we are purposed by God. We just have to live our life knowing that we are purposed and equipped by the Lord to share in the ministry of the kingdom. Using our life of faith, using our words of scripture to sow seeds of faith in the lives of others, being willing to trust God to make it all grow. In that third and last parable about the seed that has been sown, Jesus teaches about the growth that will come to the kingdom of God. Think about those early disciples. Jesus was speaking of a future that they would never see. Jesus was preparing them for a future, but they didn't live to today's age. They didn't see that what they were starting in a very small beginning of the Christian church, they would never know how worldwide the Christian church is today. And millions of disciples, the people that have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The kingdom started very, very small. It was an ordinary beginning. Jesus gathered those 12 disciples, many of them fishermen, many of them uneducated. He gathered them together. He prepared them, and then he went to the cross. And he died for them and for our salvation, and then he rose from the grave. And then he ascended and left those disciples on their own. But who makes the growth? God makes the growth. He sent the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and that growth has been happening ever since. Ordinary, faithful people sowing seeds, whether they really know it or not. And those seeds are sown by our actions, by our words. It really does matter what we say. It matters what we don't say. God takes those seeds and he grows them. That's the point of the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about is the growth of the kingdom while we are still here, home in our bodies. And that kingdom of God will grow. Just like that tiny mustard seed grows to the large plant, from that early beginning of the church, it has grown to a worldwide kingdom of God ministry. And as you think about those disciples, they experienced great persecution because they believed, because they continued to heal and teach in the name of Jesus. They were persecuted. They were beaten and they were threatened. You can read the book of Acts, and all those accounts are there. And the persecution of the church did exactly the opposite of what the persecutors hoped that they were doing. They were trying to kill the faith. They were trying to force it to extinction. But in that persecution, Christians began to spread. And they moved away from the persecution centers, and they spread, and thus the growth of the church. And again, the church has gone worldwide. In this parable, Jesus compares the small mustard seed to the small beginning of the kingdom of God here on earth. He goes on to compare the large mustard plant, the largest in the garden. He compares that process of growth from the tiny seed to the large plant to the church. And we have a part in that. We are purposed by God. It's one of the things that I love about social media. I don't post much on social media, but I follow. Yesterday I was called a stalker, and I've heard that before. But I follow social media to see where different people are planting their seeds. When you post a scripture, when you post a picture, when you post an interaction with somebody, when you are offering the words of love and kindness and compassion, you are planting seeds. It happens in countless ways because each one of us is purposed by God for his glory. Amen. Another aspect about being purposed by God is God calls us to tithe to the church. God calls us to tithe to the Lord. Part of that tithe is to the church and many other mission agencies that you may give to. But those offerings also help us do the ministry as a church, as a fellowship of believers, to continue to grow the kingdom of God. So I invite our ushers to come forward and receive our morning offerings. Let us pray over these offerings. God, as you purpose each one of us, we pray that you will purpose these offerings, that they would be used to build up your kingdom, to bring people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We offer these offerings and tithes in your blessing for your kingdom. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn is number 536, Happy the Home When God Is There. After the spoken benediction, we'll conclude with number 610, Now, go now and live for the Savior.
Thank you.
May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. Amen.